Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, March 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Super Terra, OG Terra NFTs, the GPs, the LBs, the AVs, I mean, the Gucci's, Space Toads. Why do people engage and what appeals? Let's take a listen.
Hey, Legend.
Hello, good morning. We'll give it another couple of minutes. I know there's quite a few guests due to join. I see the first two have joined us right now, which is fantastic. And we'll look to get kicked off in a couple of minutes.
Mindful of the fact as well, there seems to be another giant space going on, but I think possibly being NFTs might give us a different...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great. The Terra space is so vibrant. There's always something going on, I'm happy to kick things off. I think people will join as we go along, and obviously a lot of people do tune in after the event to listen back as well, so that's quite valuable. So kind of in the spirit of that, this is the latest in our regular Monday evening/Tuesday morning, I guess, for you, Simon, spaces that we run every week, same time. We try and pick a different topic. We've kind of reached the point now we're starting to go kind of on a second run through, and we're starting to delve more deeply into some of the particular ones. And really, I guess there's been quite a lot of focus in recent times on new NFT marketplaces. So we had a few good discussions around that. But tonight, we really wanted to focus on kind of digging into the appeal of some of what we're calling the OG Terra NFT projects. And it's great to see Nate on the call. I know we've spoken briefly. Great to hear your views on Styler and, of course, others as well. But I mean, in terms of obviously the OGs I've picked out, and there are quite a few, but the obvious ones being Galactic Punks, Lunar Bulls, Astroverse, Lunart. There's been a lot of really good, if you like, early pace setters in the Terra space. And also, to give a balance, there's been a number of early projects that have launched. And candidly, they're still there, they're still listed, but they've gone for relatively dormant. And in some cases, we know there are some that have disappeared altogether. So I guess, the challenge here and the question that we wanted to pose tonight to kind of open it up for broader discussion is, why have people engaged with particular NFT projects, and what kind of makes them great? What is the appeal behind them? Is it the art? Is it the utility? Is it the community? Is it a combination of all three? And also, I think importantly, given the Terra NFT space is only really 6 or 7 months old now. Where do we go next, and where do we see that next great leap? You know, if we're looking into other chains and some of the great things that have been developed there. So that's kind of really my kind of opening gambit to get people thinking. Obviously, if anyone wants to step up and join and have a good discussion with us, just press the request button and we'll get you up to speak. Sorry, Simon, I don't know if you want to sort of say some opening remarks as well.
Yeah, I'll fill in while the shy people put their hands up. Now, obviously what Super Terra said, but we've been really interested in hearing from the community and just working out, because it is quite interesting. You know, the trying to get a grasp on the tangibility of demand in certain NFT projects. And I mean, we're going to delve deeper in this series. So we're going to go even deeper into NFTs over the next couple of weeks and really get a great picture and insight on, you know, the things that people love about projects, what you know, they maybe don't like, working out what utility means to people, what real utility means to people, and why certain projects tend to do really well and some don't. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just repeating what Super Terra said, but yeah, I'll pass over to Nate and if you've got anything to add.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, still getting used to the fact this needs to be on your phone versus the computer. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk. Yeah, no, I've been in crypto for a few years now and, you know, did NFTs and in ETH and Solana and really started doing it, you know, back in September when Galactic Punks, you know, was released. And it's been crazy to see the innovation and the kind of expansion over the last, you know, like you said, 6 to 7 months and, you know, kind of the ebb and flows of the industry. And I think there's been a lot of kind of advancement here that you're not seeing on other chains. I think mostly because there's space to build. There's a lot less rugs and other stuff. And a lot of people, I think there was a infographic that came out last week that we have basically 1% of ETH volume, right? And so, you know, we're still early, still developing, still figuring out, you know, what a Terra NFT is, but there's a lot of cool stuff, you know, coming down the pipeline, I think.
I think absolutely with that in mind, something that really framed it for me was a comment I saw about Luart, that's, you know, very successful recently launched marketplace, saying that they had, I think it was something around about 3,500 regular users. And it's a decent number, don't get me wrong. But when you think about the sheer size of the overall crypto market, and yeah, we really are incredibly early. And so it sort of struck me that, and I think I saw a similar chart to you good self, Nate. There was that kind of graphic that shows we're one of the smaller chains in terms of NFTs, but my God, you know, the potential for growth is huge when you think about, you know, where UST and Terra Luna are in terms of overall market cap for the the main coins within this chain. You can see that the potential there is absolutely phenomenal. And the other piece I always kind of frame it with is, if you cast your mind back about 12 months, there were literally two protocols live. And you look at it now, and it's staggering. I'd personally be really interested, and I know we only spoke very briefly on Twitter a few days ago. You're obviously, judging by your avatar, a big fan of Styler, and I actually think they're quite groundbreaking with their different collections and post-mint activities. I'd love to hear more about that, if that's something that you'd like to expand upon, because I think it certainly differentiates the project from others in the sheer amount of activity that you've done post-mint.
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned, I've been in the NFT space for a while, and what caught my eye of Styler was the fact it was so different. And I think that's one of the good and bad about it, is it's groundbreaking. And I think what's unique about it is, it's, instead of being strictly, a profile picture, it's meant to be, the end game is kind of an avatar builder, and it's meant to kind of hint on, you know, pop culture. And you know, when you think of kind of, you know, cultural significance, like, you know, with punks, you know, there's 10,000 of them, you know, versus, you know, how many people are sports fans or music fans or clothing fans? There's, you know, millions, if not billions of people out there. And so I think the goal is really, how do you kind of take, you know, interests that we all have and turn it into kind of your digital self? And so the project started a few months ago, where there's three collections, and I think that's what is is what unique is, one, you know, it's called the OG, but it's the original mint from back in the fall. And that was kind of your normal kind of, you know, PFP project was minted. And then from there, what they did is they actually said every clothing that was on, you know, your original OG was actually turned into a second collection, which were items. So, you know, the shirt you were wearing, you know, there was footballs and basketballs and a cool kind of, you know, superhero attributed things. And something that's being released in 2 weeks is there's a third collection, which is kind of their avatar builder, which is kind of their final goal of how do you turn all these pieces and how do you create an NFT of what you would like and what you want to represent to the world versus something that was kind of given to you and, you know, chosen off a marketplace. But how do you kind of collect pieces and define kind of what you want, you want your profile, kind of your image to be in the digital world? And I think it's been fascinating to just be part of the project, but it's also very unique that this type of thing could only happen on Terra. That when they airdrop tens of thousands of items, you know, would have been impossible to do it anywhere else. And so I think we're I'll pause there. But
I think what's really interesting, I won't give too much details, but you know, Superterra and I have been looking into kind of similar models without really maybe fully understanding Styler. And I'm also very interested in what the, you know, obviously the technology behind that, because there's a lot of work that goes into, you know, dev work that goes into customization with with avatars. I know I've heard some stories of the difficulty of that, but that's a great roadblock to overcome. I think you've touched the nail on the head a lot with that, but also, like, I see a lot of identity, you know, NFTs. I see a lot of value in NFTs from the mainstream in terms of finding identities. If you look through, you know, look at regular society and through history, you know, not necessarily in broader society, but there's always these, you always get these niche groups, right? There's always, I don't know if you look back from high school, I think you guys call it possibly something different in the US. There's always, you know, a couple of kids that were in your class that are part of some weird club, you know, archery club or something random, right? And there's always these sub-communities and these sub-groups of people in society that attach their identity to somewhere where they belong. And I think it's similar with NFTs, and it's on a bigger scale. It's the potential for people to belong to these sub-core groups within the internet, and they attach their identity to a particular group through the NFT. And I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, when I started in crypto, I think like many people on this journey, they originally, you know, that you roll your eyes at NFTs saying, you know, it's a, you know, I can right click save, right? And because I think part of that is, you know, kind of the lottery tickets that they've become sometimes. But once you dig deeper, it's exactly that. It's kind of, you know, representation of what community you want to belong to. And I've met, you know, hundreds of people that I now call close friends just because, you know, I've joined communities of similar interests and otherwise. And, you know, I don't know what they look like, but I know, you know, their names and what they're interested in. And, you know, we all enjoy each other, you know, and sharing kind of experiences. And so I think being part of something like that is, you know, what's powerful about, you know, this community as well as, you know, many other communities that have sprouted up, you know, on Terra.
What's interesting about that is the right click group. The right click group is a sub community in itself. Yep. <They're> just quite funny. But I think the other question around that, right, is if these communities that create identity, what makes these communities long term, and what ties and glues these communities long term past just, you know, a short term community? Because it's easy to set up a Telegram group to be interested and to chat for, you know, 2-3 months, have hype 4 months. But then what is the long term, like, glue that brings the community together past just regular discussions? Because I feel like it's almost like you need these icebreakers, and you need, and this part of ongoing roadmaps for NFTs is you need this almost this icebreaker to keep these communities running. And I'm interested to hear about that.
Yeah, I think something that was actually interesting that Styler did for a while is they for participating in the Discord for a certain number of hours, you would get, certain airdrops. And I think it started as a great way to get people engaged, interested. And, you know, I was surprised how much energy I personally spent, for an airdrop. But I think over time, as you mentioned, you know, momentum wears down. And I think part of the NFT craze is kind of, how do you find, is kind of the, minting lottery tickets sometimes, right? And that's kind of the initial hype. But the question is how do you get longevity? And I think, many different communities are trying to figure out what that is. And I think it's defining kind of what your community stands for and kind of creating a sense of belonging and the people behind it. I think what's been great about crypto is just the sense of shared, community, sharing things you learn. It's fun going on Discord and finding out about the newest chain that's being released or the newest this or that. And so I think it's, you have to kind of create, a sense of shared interest and friendship and otherwise.
I think what could be, you've touched the nail on the head there. What about like the thought of building a sense of long-term learning and a sense of that ties into the real world while you're still an avatar in a space that's anonymous? People going to your community being the first place that people go or the place that people go to like grow and to ask questions and to belong more than just crypto, right? More than just that particular NFT project. It needs to tie into someone's every area of their life because that's where belonging comes in, right?
Yep.
And that's quite interesting.
And that's what, what got me really excited about the Styler community is the fact that it's taken a lot of time to kind of build the technology. Like you mentioned, it's actually pretty hard to build blockchain tech. You know, they have actually 20 or so kind of designers and engineers working on this, and it's been a few months. But now what they're able to do is like when, after the Super Bowl, like I mentioned, I'm American. I guess you heard from the accent. once the Super Bowl happened, once the Bengals and Los Angeles, they created kind of Super Bowl jerseys that we could wear, and it was a very simple thing, but it was something we could go around, and as well as kind of the greatest communities. How much is Louis Vuitton worth, right? It's they've created kind of a brand and a community around kind of luxury. Clothing and goods. And so how do you kind of turn that into the digital space? It's the kind of that shared interest around, what clothing do you like? What music do you like? What sports or other kind of shared interests are there? And so I think we're going to see NFTs turn more into those kind of shared identities.
And it's interesting you mentioned that. I saw the Super Bowl Styler campaign. I thought it was very clever and a very neat way, as you rightly say, to leverage an interest in another area, another passion, as part of the, broader community feel. And that's one of the reasons I'm quite interested in that as a project, because I think Styler is certainly, I wouldn't say they're under the radar, but they're perhaps not one of the most prominent, but equally they are, for my money, one of the most active projects in terms of what I call kind of post-mint activity. There's plenty of others. I mean, we'll come on to some of the big OGs, and I can see there's one on the call here now in terms of the Lunar Bulls, for example, and some of the massive development of community. I like Simon's analogy. I'm thinking back to my school days and being in the chess club and so on, and perhaps not the most trendy, but the whole point there is I think people naturally like to find a community that has a common shared interest. And I think what I found fascinating with my own journey, and I'm in many Discords, I think I probably mentioned this on most of the spaces, what really keeps me engaged though isn't the kind of the spammy type activities. Sometimes it's completely tangential to the overall project. You'll end up with some fascinating conversations. There's one particular Discord I'm in. They have a kind of a question of the day, and it's from the sublime to the ridiculous, but it really produces some really interesting discussions and commentary. And it's not always about the project. It is about sort of getting to know your kind of fellow NFT holders, which I really like.
Yeah, no, it sounds very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I did sort of invite the guy on, but I think with time differences, he may not be here. So if anyone's familiar, Robot Heads, it's not one of the biggest projects out there, but it's certainly one that's quite popular, and it's on Telus, so it has its own challenges there. But it's an interesting kind of niche project, and yeah, the guy that runs it is very community and social orientated, so it's good fun.
Yeah, no, I think it's been fun, you know, watching the ones, the communities that grow are exactly that, the ones with engagement and interaction, which is kind of in this Web3 world is becoming more and more important. It's been fascinating. I'm a former entrepreneur, you know, exited a company, kind of did the Web2 thing, and you know, Web3 is kind of flips everything on its head, and the value in the community, because we all share in the upside. And so it's been cool to kind of watch and be part of this journey.
So something that I'm interested in, and I want to welcome anyone else as well wanting to jump up and have a chat, because this is an open discussion, and we're wanting to get as many perspectives and insights as possible on this topic, and kind of migrate into like what really makes a project appealing. And I can ask you this, Nate, as a question, because it is quite interesting contrasting, you know, a project like Starler, which has got great roadmap, great utility and community, versus possibly an OG community, which also has great, an OG project that has great community, but may be, you know, like even if you look at Galactic Punks, you know, Galactic Punks is great, but it was also done already on other chains, right? So what Yep. gives these projects appeal from the front end? And possibly do they start with a flip and then turn into a, you know, great community, or do people see something else in these projects past just the roadmap and face value of that?
Well, that's the question, right? And that's the hard thing with you know, the industry is I think they all start out as kind of mint and flips, and some people are there for exactly that. And so the question is then what do you take with all these people that, you know, are interested and left? And you know, I think what's been fun with kind of the Galactic Punk community is that, you know, the DAO and kind of the social engagement of how do you get a lot of people interested in Terra, you know, moving together in a common direction to, you know, help the chain, you know, from the some of the investment they've done to other kind of aggregating around other causes. And, you know, I think we've seen, you know, with some of the sub communities in Hellcats and, you know, what they've done. And I think, you know, Skeleton Punks, you know, recently have done a great job with kind of creating, you know, a very vibrant community. I think it's, you know, the question becomes is, you know, there's always the first stage, and then, you know, what do you do with the second? And so I think what's been nice with Terra is there's been a bigger focus on that, I think, because it's a little bit under the radar.
I think what's also interesting for me is how these communities sort of mobilize as collectives. And I think, you know, if you like, the blue ribbon sub-community group across the whole of Terra, I would argue, is the Iced Out Bulls, who are real trailblazers. And I've noticed a lot of other communities spring up, some in a kind of semi-formalized way, others almost in a, they've popped up, and I actually posed a question amongst the Hellcats, because I was suddenly found myself being a member of, I can't remember the exact name of it now, it's like a cowboy sub-community for cowboy hats, but it seems to have disappeared. So sometimes these things kind of rise and fall quite quickly as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's been interesting, you know, with the Iced Out Bulls. I remember when I first heard about it, I said, you know, what is this sub-community stuff? And then, you know, once you start interacting, you realize it becomes, you know, people are very excited about their identity, and they've been, you know, great to work with. And, you know, a lot of them rally around causes that they, you know, believe in. And so I think it is that, I think it's been interesting kind of watching these kind of sub communities develop, but I think they need to develop kind of organically. I think if somebody says, oh, you know, this avatar is wearing a hat, you know, therefore we're, you know, hat group, it doesn't work. But if it becomes something that the community can dive into, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of staying power. Because do you guys know what Dunbar's number is? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So it's basically the rule of thumb is you can know about 150 people on a first name basis. Like if you work at a big company, you're never going to know everybody, right? And so I think there is value in kind of, you know, creating these smaller communities, but at the same time, you know, how do you kind of help, you know, the community as a whole? So I think it's been fun watching, just watching as the space develops.
Is that from Tribes?
Sorry, it's a book called Tribes that is very big on this, the 150 person organization rule.
Yeah, I mean, it was some, I mean, it's called Dunbar's number, so I'm sure the guy was named Dunbar, but yeah, no, that, I mean, that it's been something that's been in the industry, but you'll see it around, you know, different, Gore, which is a, you know, manufacturing company, was famous for kind of splitting up plants once it got beyond 150 people. So I think, you know, the question is how do you kind of honor that? But, you know, a lot of these mints are 2,000, 5,000, you know, 10,000. How do you create a sense of community and belonging when you can't possibly know everyone, right? So,
agreed. And I mean, you're going to have people that engage in those projects and not. So even out of 1,000, imagine you got 1,000 items in a mint, you're going to get a certain portion of that community that's going to actively engage. You're going to have a lot of people, even within that mint, that hold those NFTs, that flip those NFTs. You may have communities that hold 5 or 10 NFTs of that project. So out of 1,000, like, it'd be interesting to look at the numbers and see how many, like on average, how many people within if you took a random 1,000 person mint in a community, how many were actually actively engaged would be interesting to look at too.
Yeah, I think, you know, and what was interesting, as I mentioned with Styler, they did airdrops for people engaging in the community. And I think we saw early on, you know, it was around kind of 500, 1,000 out of a 10,000 person, you know, mint. And, you know, some people will have multiple and otherwise, but, you know, which is still a very vibrant, you know, community. And, but I think, you know, we're early in the Terra space, but I think we're also early in the, you know, in the crypto space in general. I think it seems like we've gone a long way, but there's still much longer to go. And I think, you know, digital identity is only going to become more and more important.
Right. But so let's circle back, and I want to invite again anyone that's listening on this call that has an input or wants to add anything to the conversation to jump up. I know we've got a little bit of a smaller spaces today. You know, we've got some big other spaces happening, but I want to circle back to, you know, we really, really want to delve into what appeals to people in these projects. And we've talked about the community side, obviously, and the importance of this community and the tying people together. But let's just imagine there's a new mint popping up on Luat or Messier, and, you know, you're looking at this project. What appeals to you looking at an NFT project? What appeals to people looking at an NFT project? Is it the art? Is it the utility? Is it the community? Is it, you know, the roadmap, the team? I mean, it could be a combination of all these things, but what is it that really, really makes some projects extremely attractive and sell out on crazy mints? And what makes some projects, you know, not have too much on those mints?
I mean, I can chip in my immediate thoughts. I think there are a lot of factors, but I think the first one is really, is there some depth and substance? So you look at the art. I think it's important that the art has some value. I've seen some very interesting, perhaps early mints where the art's not always been of the highest quality. And I've noticed that, I think, after that early novelty phase, more challenge came into the space. And I think importantly as well, it's probably not about fully doxing necessarily, but having some confidence in the team that is actually putting out the collection. And also for me personally, the build-up, how that's done, that kind of organic development of a project versus perhaps a mass marketing push. They both have their place. And then really delving into the substance of the roadmap. And I certainly got caught out with a couple of early mints where on the surface, the offer appeared to be pretty genuine, and then they turned out to be rugs. And I think now I look back and the red flag for me was, in both of those events, there wasn't really any kind of fronting up. And I think really right back to the early projects, you'd see, you know, a list on a web page of they might not necessarily be the real names, but people would front up and say, you know, I'm X and I'm the developer and this is what I do. But for certain projects, you didn't have any of that. There was an air of mystery, and then there was an air of into the night. So I think that's important. And I think as well, a sense of a plan, whether it's fully formed or it's one that the community is going to heavily influence, which I think is actually a good thing, but an openness rather than rigidity. So I think that, I think that's important. And also in some cases where there's a very clear use case laid out pre-mint that you can see is going to develop some fantastic value going forwards. That's not as common, but that would also be a positive for me. So generally speaking, I would research and see, you know, do I like the art? Do I have a sense that there is a genuine team behind this and there's some longevity and there's some post-mint, they're going to stick around? And also how that first community phase is formed. Is it through a lot of, to put it bluntly, spamming, or is it a genuine growth over a sustained period of time? I'll give you one example of a project that did the latter incredibly well, and that was Dystope AI. They built that up over several months through collaborative activities, which would be another aspect for me as well, which I think is incredibly important. And also willingness to talk to people in the space and explore their motivations, the origins, the background. You know, I'm always interested in projects that kind of want to tell their backstory, because I think that's really powerful. Another recent example, admittedly not an OG, would be Artsy Apes, who I talked to on a number of occasions pre-mint, and was very excited about what they were offering. And I think, as we've already seen, it's early stages since the mint, but some very clever uses that have been developed post that initial NFT launch with the physical art manifestations and a genuine graffiti artist backing it up. And you could also say the same for Poppin' Puffins and others as well. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with everything you say. I think that the art is kind of, if you don't like the art, you're probably not going to do it, right? And so that's kind of, you know, the way in. And I think what's been cool, especially on Terra, is seeing all the different kind of utility and use cases that people are coming up with and realizing that they want to be more than just, you know, a profile picture. I think, you know, the examples you mentioned, I know GrabADAO is one where they, you know, it's a way to kind of support their, you know, they have a Discord bot that almost everybody uses for kind of authenticating that you own the NFT. I think it's been fun with, you know, Solo G with Silent Solos, like you send, you know, the man and he'll make a custom shoe for you, right? And so, you know, that's been a fun one, you know, to be a part of. I think there was one that came out, Space Birds, that have different utilities around, you know, NFT floor bots and otherwise. And so I think we're seeing, you know, more and more utility, but it's also hard too, of like, you know, I think one other thing in the crypto space is everyone promises and very few deliver, right? And so how do you, as an early investor, kind of determine that? And I think a lot of that is, you know, you mentioned kind of the hype in the team, like, you know, are, you know, why you don't always need to be doxxed. Like, can you talk to the people behind the project early on? You know, are there a lot of people, you know, in Discord or otherwise, you know, who are interested and mentioned it? And especially, you know, as there's more and more coming out, it's, you know, it's even harder to break through, but, you know, we're still seeing a lot of good projects come out.
I think that's a really good point as well. I mean, it's certainly far from saturated. And I think if you take the view that we are very early in the space, there's definitely a sense now that in order to be a truly successful project launch, there's a lot of pre-engagement that needs to happen. And I think a lot of community build-up, I think, is really important. So that's been interesting to watch. And I'm sure, along with many others, have very regular DMs in Discord, join the latest amazing projects, whatever it might be, and lots of kind of alpha that gets caught on Twitter. I mean, that's probably the main source that I find for discovering new projects. I'll just see a little teaser, go into it, and then before you know it, you're down the rabbit hole, and I found some brilliant projects that way. And that's great fun. And obviously sometimes people will reach out directly, you know, DM campaigns to lots of different people to sell an idea and a concept. So I think that's important.
What I find interesting too, like the space that we're in Terra is quite an interesting one, because I remember like even ages ago on Ethereum, the number of projects that were being launched every day, like the number that you saw across Discords and social medias being promoted. And you come on Terra and relatively there's a lot of projects popping up, but relatively it's still very, very small. There's a very small, like a very small amount of saturation still. And I think, you know, that will change. And I think at some point we're going to see an influx of like thousands of projects being launched. But right now, I think it's a great opportunity as well to be seen a lot easier, that when you're an ETH and you really, really need to have some powerful marketing, powerful partnerships and some powerful stuff to really stand out from the crowd. It is quite interesting that it is even more than the art. And the art is great, but, you know, in some shape or form, when you've got 1,000 projects, 1,500 projects, unless your art is really, really good or there's something else, it's kind of hard to stand out from that crowd.
Yeah, no, I think that's the nice thing about Terra. I know an ETH, I forget, what was the Invisible Friends or whatever, where, you know, they had 500,000 plus followers. And, you know, in order to be anywhere in ETH, you have to make the whitelist, which is, you know, hours of grinding and all sorts of other stuff. And so I think what's been fun about Terra is a bunch of really talented people kind of building new things without kind of the pressure of needing that. And so I'm hopeful too that we'll start to see the influx. I think, you know, being an American, Terra has been very hard to get people on. It's been, you know, two or three jumps in order to get money onboarded. But now that we're seeing, you know, Alice come online and other programs, as well as, you know, I'm a baseball fan. I know the rest of the world kind of poo-poos it, but, you know, them sponsoring the Nationals, I think, is going to start, you know, getting some attention. And I think what's been fun is NFTs are a way that, you know, an everyday person can really get involved in crypto and have fun with it.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you on the Nationals. I think that's a huge step forward. I mean, it's an incredible piece of work. And I'm a Brit myself, but I do love American sports. And certainly when I saw that deal signed, I was hoping it would be my team, though, the Blue Jays, but it wasn't, alas. but no, in all seriousness, I think it's a really powerful move. And I think it'll only massively spread the brand awareness of Terra. And with it, that look for people to adopt it.
So let's look at possibly like how much does gamification play a part in this? I can speak from my personal interest in Levana, for example. So Levana was one that was really interesting to me a while back, before they even had, you know, when it was just the Meteors. I think because, you know, kind of tying into that gamification, and they've taken a different route to many NFT projects that you see around, you know, many that are just PFP projects, right? And I think bringing that gamification in and attaching that to DeFi in some shape or form has been, I think, almost the future of a lot of NFT projects, is being able to go, you know, for those that maybe aren't super aware of Levana, is the end goal is for perpetual swaps exchange. And you know, they've really, really done really well building up and getting this interest from NFT markets. And eventually, you know, that will tie into their DeFi platform. But they've really kind of brought in this sense of gamification around their NFTs. They're bringing in games. Similar to what Nate said before, they've actually created, you know, factions and made people belong to particular like sub-communities. So I find that really fascinating, and a really fascinating thing that interests me in NFTs and for the future of NFTs to really bring that gamification and tie that into DeFi. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun. Have you guys used DeFi Kingdoms or, you know, DFK at all on Harmony?
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah, Here, go ahead, man.
No, I was going to say that I haven't either, but I'm certainly interested in exploring it further.
Yeah, I think they really pushed where they started out as a DEX, and then they created kind of gamification around it where you could have, you know, different players that could go on and do tasks and have other things going down. And in January, the token, you know, 10x'd, and now it's come back, you know, down 90%. But it was fun to kind of interact where, you know, where it show friends saying, hey, I'm going to the bank. And, you know, you send your avatar into a bank and, you know, you do a transaction and a trade and otherwise. And so I think it's fun to see there. And I do see, you know, gamification, you know, with the NFTs. I think, like you mentioned, Lavana, I mean, Styler, what they're actually doing with their avatars is, depending on how you build it, will have a play in kind of their second iteration of a game that they're working through and, you know, are announcing at the end of this month. And I think, too, I'm a big, you know, Hearthstone fan, but, you know, everything you pay, you get nothing. And so it's been interesting, you know, seeing Deviants come out in a trading card game, and it's still early. But, you know, with what you gain and you know, being able to trade. So, you know, I'm excited about them, too, on Terra. So I think there's, you know, I do see this kind of gaming as a way to bring on more and more people. I think we're still playing around with what is the best kind of tokenomics of it all. Like, how do you create a sustainable strategy around all this? But I agree. I think that's kind of the future.
Yeah, and I think NFTs are much more of an emotional connection to users. I mean, you look at, like, even a DeFi protocol, even a simple DeFi protocol for the average beginner, it takes a while to get into it. And I can speak from, you know, building Learn and stuff and talking about this with the DEX and going, you know, like, all these platforms are great, and Prism and all this sort of stuff. But if you look at it from the beginners looking in, it's absolutely, like, complex. If you're a degen, it, you know, makes a lot of sense, and it attracts a lot of TradFi guys and a lot of guys from other chains. But looking from outside the degen space, if you want to onboard a lot of mainstreams, you need something that creates this emotional connection, that creates dopamine, sense of belonging. And I think that's where NFTs play a huge role.
And the other piece I was going to mention in terms of the gamification side is obviously the advent of metaverse plays, because that will absolutely take the opportunity into this new kind of virtual series of different plays where people can, you know, take their avatar, you know, bring it to life. I quite liked your comment there about going to the virtual bank, Nate. I saw this sort of comical image in my mind. But there's a serious point there, and we did have a really good discussion a few weeks ago around metaverse plays, and obviously there are a number of Terra projects already, you know, gearing up for that, and I'm certainly very interested to see how that plays out. And I think, I guess, in some senses as well, when we talk about gamification, you know, Derby Stars is an interesting one. You know, the kind of the breeding, the racing, the running, the kind of nurturing of your virtual thoroughbred livestock. So there's lots of interesting, you know, plays on this, and I'm certainly keen to see, you know, what's going to unfold. Obviously, we've had a few more people join, which is fantastic. If anyone wants to kind of step forward and give their views on the kind of relatively nascent still NFT space in Terra, we'd love to hear from you. So we're really, as always, encourage this to be an open debate and discussion around the trends and opportunities that we're seeing in the market, really watching it as it unfolds, because it is fascinating to see how some of those kind of, if you like, genesis projects have really kind of moved forwards. Seffi, the stage is yours, sir.
Fire. The question.
Sorry,
just wanted to add just quickly, like, the conversation for this NFT space mainly is based around looking at these NFT projects that have really taken off and done really well, and asking, like, really the question of what makes them appealing. Why do people flock to certain NFT projects and not to others, and what makes them appealing?
Yeah, having not got in there and bought a lot of NFTs myself, or actually technically none, so let me kind of, like, maybe give an outsider's maybe point of view about what I think about it. I think there's people that want to do kind of like the Discord grind and think of, like, getting into NFTs is almost like thinking and getting into, like, a gaming guild or something, where, you know, you have this community you build, and then you kind of, like, bring more people into the community, and then some people leave, and it's just sort of like this, like, community building grind, so to speak. And it's almost exactly the same as, like, a gaming guild situation. I think to have long-term engagement, you know, if you just, even with, like, gaming guilds back in the day, when I was sort of more used to that, even with all of those sort of like dopamine hits and achievements and things you can do in that, over time, you know, the community would sort of dissipate and go on to other things, or, you know, very few of those kinds of guilds probably survived forever. So I think what needs to happen in this space, I think obviously some of the earliest groups that formed here on Terra, whether it's you know, Bulls, Galactic Punks, or you know, or any of these, like that, you know, and some, quite a few people have some of the various NFTs supported here in this group. A lot of that seems to be kind of, yeah, like you, the OG status concept of you sort of representing a layer one. So like when, you know, people show up in this space, like you can, you know, just scan the room and you're like, okay, I can see these are all Terra people. And, you know, and I can recognize all of these folks. So that like recognition, immediate recognition is sort of like, I guess maybe how like in the military we have like, you know, badges and not badges, but medals. And, you know, you have your various little components that go on your jacket, you know, those kind of things where the people within the group sort of understand what those like positions mean. And even if you're even more hardcore, you're like, ooh, that's a, you know, special type of iced out bull, or like there's some, you know, but the farther away you get from it, the less people like know how elite your NFT really is, right? Like it's kind of a, it's really hard to clarify, because in a gaming world, you know, like if I was going around with like some special, I don't know, sword that I'm wearing in the game, and everyone's like, ooh, I know how hard it was to get that sucker. And, you know, and there are only a few of them, and everyone knows like that's the awesome, you know, man, you guys must be like a mega guild to get that sword. Like, what's up with that? It's like on fire or whatever, you know, like that. It's like the community sort of knew what that was. And I don't know how NFT communities, sort of the OG style communities, continue to foster that, you know, years down the line. Maybe folks that are in like Bulls or any of you guys are would comment to that effect. Simon, your voice kind of died on me.
Yeah, you're very quiet, Simon.
Can you hear me now?
Much better, yeah.
So it's interesting when we're talking about OGs, right? We're talking about OG projects, but at the same time, there's newer projects that launch that kind of reach this OG status as well. Like you're looking not as big, obviously, as Skeleton, but not as big as Galactic Punks and stuff like that. But even look at, you know, Wrecked Wolves on their mint and Skeleton Punks and all this buzz and interest that's generated. That's where kind of looking at that and seeing this interest and going like, you know, what really appeals to, you know, people to these projects? Is it the people behind the project and the kind of buzz that they, you know, generate that creates this kind of chamber where everyone's around, or is there other things that really make a project really attractive to people?
Hey guys, it's Juicy Heat from the Iced Out Bulls. I can speak a little bit to what CeFi was alluding to in terms of the gamification aspect, but I think I'd probably be better suited to at least looking at some of these blue chip NFT projects and what is really driving the community. And that's really just the quest for community-led alpha, as well as being able to engage and share either skill sets or knowledge sets within a specific community for the betterment of that community. You know, I think that at least at this point in time in the nascent stages of the Terra NFT space is where a lot of these sub-communities, sub-DAOs, are really kind of forming and being able to proliferate what will become the Terra NFT space as these gamification engines like the Derby Stars and the Deviants and Lavana has done an amazing job to this point at being able to create these ecosystems and to keep people engaged. You know, I do believe that to CeFi's point again becomes more challenging down the road. But if you're in a community and there is consistent alpha that's generated within that community, either by virtue of having that kind of herd mentality in terms of being able to get excited about a project, or by having people within that community with the various skill sets that are needed in order to succeed, be able to share that knowledge and then boost that, that, you know, the overall education level of a community is where I see, at least right now, the Terra NFT space being, and I look forward to seeing how it continues to thrive moving forward.
Yeah, there's so much going on. So I know that, you know, that's what we do is we share, you know, what are the airdrops that are happening today, or, you know, what are the new chains or tokens that are coming out? Because nobody can do everything in this space. And so it's been fun, you know, being a part of a community with shared interests that way.
Yeah, it was interesting in like elite gaming guilds and such, where, what would happen is the people within the group would support each other in terms of like teaching each other tactics and how to play the game and all of that kind of fun stuff. And then the new folks that would be coming in, they sort of got the feeling that, well, you know, these people really do have a lot of alpha regarding the play of the game. And therefore, hey, I want to play with these folks at this level. So the grind used to be like people wanting to join our mega guild used to kind of like try to, you know, prove themselves, try to get like all the different equipment needed to play the game at the same level. And there's a whole grind. It's sort of like grind in the like crypto NFT space. It's a little bit different in that, like, let's say the price of, you know, Lunables or, you know, whatever, you know, pick your team, so to speak. Like if the price goes to a certain point, then it's like there's like a barrier to entry, which gets to be kind of weird because, like, I remember in gaming guilds, we used to have people that were sometimes really, really good, like excellent gamers, but you would never have noticed it if you didn't, like if they didn't have a chance to play with you for a while. So what oftentimes I would do to recruit people or to meet new people would be I'd go into different communities and hang out with other people in my casual gaming time and meet up with folks. And if I see someone with a whole lot of talent or like, you know, looks like they have a lot of potential, then, you know, I have them start like playing with us, you know, at a higher level. It's kind of a weird, like sort of rite of passage sort of deal going on. So I don't know if you guys like see that gamification happening on the NFT angle here or not. It's different.
I never thought of it that way. It was a big EverQuest junkie back in the day. Maybe that's
yeah,
why.
That- So it was I was EverQuest specifically, and we were actually mine was Fires of Heaven, which was like the, you know, the worldwide sort of like super guild or whatever,
yeah,
for a number of years. And so I have a really like unique experience with that sort of OG type of guild status. We didn't have, of course, NFTs for that, but we did sort of have like a strange recognition amongst the EverQuest community and like, you know, everyone's knocking at the door to get in kind of a thing, right? So I don't know if you guys have seen like what, like how to build that kind of like FOMO with the NFT communities, I guess. Is that even something you want to do really necessarily? That's a different question entirely.
I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, has to do with price. And I know we have, you know, an iced out bull here that I think has done a great job with that, right? And so what have you guys seen to make that work?
Yeah, in terms of the price action, it really just kind of happened when the, I guess we'll call it like the first wave of NFT invasion on the Terra side really happened. And from the pricing angle for Iced Out Bulls, it really kind of happened organically. And since then, we've created a DAO structure. There are buy-ins to that DAO, and we have, you know, we have our own portfolio of NFTs that are in this kind of shared wallet scenario. You know, so in terms of the Iced Out Bulls, like we already have this kind of like base floor, and we're building upon that as we continue to collaborate with other projects. You know, we're exploring some ideas of our own kind of native project, and whether that's going to stay private or kind of go more public, you know, that still remains to be seen. And we're exploring a lot of different options from an investment angle as well.
So Seth, you mentioned something, how you were a big gamer, but you don't have an NFT. So I like kind of inverting, like,
yeah, well,
why is that? Like it is
weird. Like I tell this story a lot. It's, you know, when you were at, like gaming at that level, it's weird. It like wrecks games after that from then on. Cause like we were literally with like some of the best people in the world at that moment. That was, you know, including myself and a variety of people. So like, it's almost like you were, you know, you played football, the Super Bowl, and now you're playing, you know, like football, you know, on the street with some friends. It's like, it's just different. But yeah, there's also, when I noticed the NFT concept sort of emerging, I just recall how addicting video gaming was, and I wasn't really that interested in sort of getting into that kind of weeds again, like, you know, time consumption wise, right? Like, it's like, is that where I want to have my fun? And to some of it too is like, just, you know, keeping up with all the discords and whatnot is kind of just a complicated thing in and of itself. So it might be more fun. It might become increasingly more fun though when like metaverse spaces become a bit more three-dimensional and maybe more natural in sort of the flow of the experience. Whereas like typing on Discord is not nearly my personal version of fun, right? Like, yeah, I remember you played EverQuest, so you know what I'm talking about. So yeah. I used to have like this enchanter character. And so the funny thing about the character was like, you'd have to sit down and like regenerate your magic every so often. And some people used to hate that because it would be like slow to the game. But the nice thing about that was, is while you're sitting there and you're doing nothing literally in that particular game, you're chatting with people and you're typing or you're on IRC chat, you know, discussing the next strategy or whatever it was, you could sort of like get things done while you're playing the game, because you're not like, you're not actually 100% in attendance the entire time. But with the Discord thing, it's weird in that like there's all these messages going by, and then it's like, hey, wait a minute, you got to go catch up with what the hell happened today. And I feel like you quickly lose track of what the hell's going on. Am I wrong here? Like,
you are.
It's like a full time job.
We do TLDRs all the time. In terms of like what's going on other projects, especially the ones that we're looking to collaborate with, I'd say it's probably the most useful part of my day is just doing a small recap of what's happening on the Iced Out Bulls, you know, in our group, and then I can kind of go in and go through some of my other, you know, almost like aggregator Discord channels and see if I could figure out exactly what happened and what it is that I missed. I have to hop, everybody, but thank you very much for letting me up here. And yeah, anytime anybody wants to chat, just hit me up, DM anything on my set. Thanks.
But what do you guys foresee as like the NFT museum/meetings places, so that so in other words, you go into this like, you know, great hall or whatever, and you know, everyone has their particular sort of like NFT flashed up there in the great hall of, you know, Simon and Nate's big, you know, party, and you could sort of interact with people in this hall space sort of, and you start to recognize that space for specific types of people, or you go there for specific reasons, and you know, and then visually you get used to that, right? It's almost like Twitter Spaces, where eventually there's kind of a group of almost like friends that you see a lot, and you get to know them, but you sort of like visually get to know them by their, you know, profile pic to some extent, right? It just seems like that's the next level, but like where we are now is just not quite there yet to me. There's something missing. I'm not sure what it is.
I think for me, we're still in the early stages of forming how these sorts of social gatherings work. I mean, I guess spaces have only been going for probably a year or so, and, you know, initially very clunky. I've had all sorts of technical problems. This is probably the first time I've not been kicked out and had to rejoin for some time. But I think in terms to your point, Seth, you're absolutely right. I recognize, you know, by the avatar who the person is quite regularly, and that's part of the development. And I share your challenges on Discord, and I think Juicy Heat's dropped off now, but I'm in a lot of Discords and scanning through. There is a lot of banter, shall we say, and a lot of noise, and actually picking out something that's an interesting thread. And I've been in some discords where there was one, it was so manic, I just like had to just put it on mute because I was trying to talk, and then there was about 50 different conversations going on in the main group. I just thought, this is crazy. Sorry, bouncing around a little bit. I guess all of this is about community, and actually several of the speakers raised a really good point. By the way, I'm also conscious there's one very patient speaker who's been sat up here for ages, so we'll invite them forwards in a moment. But literally on this call, I'm looking through here and I can see all sorts of avatars. There's a fellow, we're going to make it monkeys, Kong on the call. There's puffins, there's skeleton punks, hellcats. Yeah, just scanning down. Oh, there's a zebra ball there as well, which is great to see. Yeah, just a quick scan through, and instantly, and obviously that goes without saying, obviously Styler, because we've been talking about that earlier on the call, but you recognize a Galactic Punk's Angel. So there's so many really good ones, and a Galactic Punk as well, and an eel. So, you know, the point is you recognize all these projects. They're almost becoming kind of brands, badges that we wear. Something I just did want to briefly touch upon as well is we've talked about taking things into the metaverse and gamification. I think the other avenue, and we're seeing it, and I think ETH is leading the way here, yeah, that kind of apparel world of people actually being able to physically print out and own it as their own kind of badge of honor, if you like, in the real world. We're not quite there yet with Terra, but I have seen the odd person when I've been in London who's been sporting a Bored Apes, and I've sort of got him a strange nod, and they probably thought, who's that crazy guy? Because literally it's still a little bit of a strange thing when you see something in the physical manifestation world, and that's all an extension of community. Sort of a general ramble, but I just wanted just to kind of bring back the community point. I guess I'll let you jump in, Simon, then it'd be really nice to hear from the Woken, who's been incredibly patient, and we've got another speaker up as well. But I'll hand over to you, Simon, for a second.
I just want to add something, DeFi, DeFi raised this massively, and it seems that we've really gone down the community route, and we've talked about, like, obviously the importance of the community and all this sort of stuff. But let's also look at it from a beginner's perspective and ask this question. Does the beginner coming to, you know, when you're attracted to a project and a mint sells out, is that just from the community, or is that people coming and looking at the project? Do they see the community automatically, or is it other things that attract them first off to those projects? Does it start as a flipping project and then turn into a stronger community, or is the community just built really, really strongly from the start, and that's what creates that momentum in the project? So I thought it'd be interesting to dig into that too, and I'll pass it over to the world and we kind of open up that discussion more.
Good morning to you all. It's really interesting. Thanks very much for hosting these. These are perfectly timed that I can wake up in the morning and have coffee and listen to such incredibly talented speakers talk. So I often feel like a thief sitting in the background and taking information, but I think I do have some interesting thoughts as to what we are and where we are going. And seeing these gatherings grow and being a part of it and supporting it is one of the best things that we can do, because as the community grows, we have to have custodians, if you like. So when we talk about the OGs of any space, it's almost like we are the people who are keeping the Terra NFT space clean and clear by our representation in different projects. You know, I also have a list of Discord groups. At times I just look and go, geez, I need 16 days to catch up with what I've left behind, because there is so much going on and there's so much innovation coming. When we have a community forming and we look at the use case of NFTs, much of it is about the creation of the networks within the community. Recently, I heard that Mark Cuban is looking at introducing NFTs as something to do with the ticket sales to stop scalpers and bad actors in that field. So there's a use case that actually goes into the real world, but not everybody yet is going to adopt that use case. So we're in a transitional period at the moment where the Terra NFT space is like, I'm in the Terra NFT space because I want a Board 8 Yacht Club Genesis OG $600,000 NFT, you know, and if it's a whatever project it comes from, you know, I would really like to have that value held where a hedge fund is looking at investing into a project because they see the real use case, and Dystope AI is running fast in the lead there. Just because Freaky's here and we have to support our homegrown base. So I think as we develop and more people come, having the community of really solid people is a base where we can get education to the people who come, because, you know, I listen to some of your talks, CeFi or SuperTerra or Simon, or what TerraSpace and Finn and the interns are putting out, and the alpha and information that is transmitted through these avenues is really going to support people coming through as things develop and more people find out about Terra and Luna and all the protocols that are building on it. Because NFT space I see is almost like a notice board for the ecosystem, where we have the ability to gather information, get people who are involved in projects speaking and talking about the development of what's coming. And there's just some incredibly valuable technology coming, and NFTs are developing that space first. So there's a lot going, and there's probably a few other things that I have, but I'm sort of rattled at the moment. It's early morning stuff, but I'm glad to be here, and it's nice to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, and thank you for that. We are glad to be part of your morning routine. And I think the important point there is, I mean, Simon and I, we started these sessions really after a conversation, I don't know, November, December time, and it's now become a regular thing. And I just really enjoy sharing and learning from others. And I think that's one of the great things about the broader Terra community, and I think you've encapsulated it very well there. And I think you're absolutely right. I think the NFTs are absolutely, I don't think they're the only shop window into Terra, because certainly I got into it well before the NFTs, but they've become a major amplifier of what's going on in the space for a lot of newbies coming in. And I think that's fantastic. But I see it as you know, a part of a very exciting and complex ecosystem, which I'm very proud and happy to be involved in and play my own small part in. I'm keen as well to bring in Bros the Ghost, I think it is, UHST, who's patiently been waiting.
Yes, sir. That's how I go by, Bros the Ghost. But also just wanted to, you know, I wanted to get up on stage when Sefi was originally talking about, you know, maybe like the greater embedded sort of virtual world that we all sort of feel like maybe these NFTs are a long-term badge into. And to that point, like if you think about the growth of Terra, last summer there was a huge amount of optimism in this Terra World project that was going to sort of have this metaverse vision involved. And then with the launch of that, things got a lot of FUD in the project. I wanted to just give my perspective because I came to Terra, of course, like, you know, spring of last year. But I was also the only other project that I was really heavily interested in at the time was Decentraland and the Mana world. And I think Terra has a lot to learn from what Mana has going on in a general sense as we approach virtual worlds and NFT ecosystems. Like, you know, and I don't fully understand the tokenomics of the Mana coin, but I know that there's some element of staking Mana to own land in that world. And overall, that is something that Terra is going to need. And that's one major appeal to like projects. I guess that's not there yet in any of the projects that I'm aware of in Terra NFTs. But the projects that I like are ones where you feel like you're talking to people that are going to look at next edge projects. And that's why They don't get a lot of press, but the Kronks are an awesome community because they're part of this Meta Collect group, which is cross-chain NFT. Like, there's a big Tezos market, there's Ethereum, Maxi, OG NFT collectors, and then we have Kronks, and these three communities can come together, and that's a huge potential that we do have as second movers on Terra blockchain in NFT all across the board. Is like, we can improve on a lot of the experiences that people failed in other ecosystems so that we can really be the best, because that's what we've always been about on Terra, is the best. I'm optimistic that eventually 2-3 years down the road, all of these sellout profile picture projects or however, all these projects are going to be able to have some sort of shared underlying architecture, maybe even of like interacting in a virtual world. I believe it'll come. And I think that's just sort of what I wanted to get up here and say. But thank you all for hosting this.
Thank you, Bros. And I think what you've raised there is something that I've said a number of times, that yeah, we are so early in the development of this space, and I think it's incredibly exciting to see how it unfolds. And Decentraland is a really good, you know, benchmark for what potentially could be achieved. And certainly like to open that up more broadly if anyone else has some thoughts on that, because I think certainly, if we can get to that sort of stage where projects bridge each other and there are those kind of direct interactions, and we see a lot of fantastic collaborations at this early stage, which I really do love. But you're talking about that true linkage, that true space, which I think is really, really interesting.
You know, there is quite a bit of processing power available on, you know, your modern smartphone, as you know, sort of unbelievable capabilities for basically spontaneous rendering. And you know, there, even with like mobile devices now, there really is a good sort of opportunity to create those worlds. But the thing is, it does take these are massive multi-year style projects. Like, even if you started today, right, like a decent game space takes years to build really well. Even Decentraland to me is kind of like whatever. Like, I remember the sort of like when I first got into EverQuest in like a 3D space, Nate would probably remember this. It was just like one of the most magical sort of experiences like in our lifetime up until that point. It was really remarkable in the sense that like nobody was really used to playing any kind of multiplayer 3D space, and now you're sort of like interacting with people, you're seeing their little spells and swords move and all the other cool crap. And it was sort of there was a immersion there that was just amazing. And it didn't require like the best graphics in the universe, but it was a mixture of like the experience, the art, the music, like everything about it. For some reason, it wasn't the, like in retrospect, even now, it's like, you're like, hey, I wish I could go play EverQuest again, but you're like, no, I probably shouldn't, because I'll get addicted to playing that again.
The rabbit hole, man.
What's that?
I said that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go back down.
Exactly, but you know you love it, like you know you would. You're like, you don't want to do it again. But no, I was going to say the all of that's sort of coming. Whether you want to sort of immerse your life in that way or not is a different question, I suppose. On a slightly different note, you know, one of the things I think would be really beneficial to Terra in general is for the NFT art communities, because, you know, these are communities that are basically, you know, already good at art and mostly involved with like supporting their own sort of NFTs. I'd be curious if there is some way to like promote Terra in general, not just with individual NFT projects, but with like the building of sort of memes and other sort of like interactive projects regarding regenerative art and such that just bring in people en masse to Terra. Like in other words, experiences that are maybe even free in a way, and people just show up and they can start, you know, interacting with things. It's almost like kind of like how the Dogecoin crowd you know, has their little dog meme thing, and it's hilarious, and, you know, a bunch of people bought Dogecoin as a result of it, right? So what can we learn from that, you know, engagement that resulted? Yeah, it resulted in the price of a stupid coin going up. I get that. But indirectly, like, there's clearly something to be learned there from the memification process, sort of. And maybe there's some needs to be something that's like a joint project with like all the NFT communities, with, you know, to just like blow Terra out to the, you know, like to the next, you know, 10x number of people, and then all the NFT projects automatically benefit from the traffic of people coming in. Since a lot of people do get into crypto via DeFi, and a lot of people get in through NFTs, but like, how do you, like, what is the, how do you get people in that gateway in a much more meaningful way is my question. And I don't know if anyone has the answer to that or has the willpower to do it.
I think virality is a pretty hard thing to force. I think you find that these days viral things are almost by accident. You find when people try to force this virality that it doesn't, sometimes it works. It worked for Shiba, but a lot of the time it's this accidental virality that kicks off, that something funny happens and then it just takes off.
You know what I did love though? I love the ability to get onto a, like, you know how like SmartStake has its, you know, burn page, right? And everyone like screenshots it and like, you know, posts about it, or like the UST market cap or the Terra. There's several like Twitter accounts who like make professional looking graphs about like where our TVL is, and right, like, you know, the idea is that you want to produce Terra native shareable content that your communities can share. So if you're a Luna Bull or you're a Luard or whatever, you know, whether you're a marketplace or whatever, it's like you want to have something that represents that community, but then also represents Terra at large, and it's shareable in some way, right? Like, in other words, so it's so nice that you would literally like copy paste that JPEG, store it in your like photo file for your memories because it's so damn cool or so funny or so interesting. So I think there is a there's a method to that to some extent. Anytime you have apps like, for example, Lunar Crush, where they create like shareable pages, shareable screens, where you just click a button and you can do a Twitter share, you can sort of force virality to some extent, like by making images that are truly shareable and easy to use. And I don't see that yet in the same way, right?
I guess it's about harnessing the power of the lunatics in that sense. But I think it's interesting for me, and I'm kind of with Simon, viral things often happen by accident. And some of the funniest stuff is just things that weren't meant to be. I mean, something that happened a number of years ago in Britain, which sounds so lame, it's untrue. A then successful MP put his own name in. He thought he was searching for it. He tweeted out his name, and there's now an Ed Balls name in this day in honor of this guy. And he's like since left politics and done all sorts of TV and things. But you know, that kind of went viral because the guy was, you know, so untech friendly. He just did it by mistake. But you know, so that kind of virality is great. Maybe there's something that there's some very creative people that can meme things out. Obviously, after Doe did his quite famous interview on US television where he pointed out that there's a world outside America, that kind of went viral. But I mean, how do those things creep beyond the space in a sustained way? I mean, I'm not particularly a marketeer, but it's an interesting thing because obviously ultimately what we're trying to do.
And I'm not saying it has to be. Yeah, I'm not saying it has to be like a forced
virus. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's sort
just
of
like more shareable. You know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think the one that really kind of did capture the imagination was Doe's interview. I forget which one of the US channels it was, but that seemed to go way beyond Terra. And seemed to really capture some of the mainstream media outlets' awareness, which was fantastic. So it's something like that can work where it kind of goes beyond a space
And I think we'll start to see that. We've seen that with some of the big, you know, sort of bring it back to the sort of the main topic. We've seen that with some of the big NFT stories in ETH, obviously Bored Apes been a great example, where it's breaking into the mainstream in a big way. I'm sure in times to come, we will see that happening with Terra. I think Hellcats put up an advert, was it Times Square, I think, something like that, which is quite spectacular. Things will happen over time, I'm absolutely sure.
Hellcats did that?
Yeah, I think it was Times Square. Some could probably correct me on the call if I'm wrong, but it's certainly some big outdoor sort of advertising space, you know, very prominent in I think it was in New York, but yeah, I only seen it online unless someone's cleverly photoshopped it. I think they did actually buy a billboard space which looked fantastic.
Yeah, it was a little sliver in Times Square, and what was interesting is it took about a week, but then all of a sudden you saw, you know, things skyrocket. And so I think it's like you said, it's tough to know exactly what it is, but I think what's so cool about crypto is everything is shared upside, right? You know, we all have a piece of the network. And so, you know, we're all marketers for this. And so it'll be interesting to see how, you know, NFTs, you know, become a part of that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, those kind of viral things, it's great when they take off. And clearly, you know, it's in our consciousness now that these projects can do that. And just conscious that James has stepped forward, if you'd like to share your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, for sure. Just going off what was just said, I've noticed that Terra doesn't really spend money on a marketing campaign. Can one of the speakers kind of speak as to why that decision is made? I guess the coin kind of speaks for itself, but I feel like if, you know, a portion of money was used towards marketing, that could go pretty far. So thanks.
There is. You just got to see where it is. It's just different kind of marketing. There is money. I can tell you there is money behind the scene being spent on marketing. And, you know, I've been a part of that in terms of building a platform called Loop Learn, which has been a like a learn to earn education platform. And I can tell you that there's a lot of money that's gone into there from the TFL side. But you know, you don't how to explain it. Like, marketing doesn't necessarily need a huge amount of money spent on. Like, it's almost sometimes the best marketing is organic, right? And Terra's grown massively with organic marketing, with organic word of mouth, with just creating great products. So sometimes if you create great products, that marketing speaks for itself. And then you've obviously coming into marketing in terms of looking at the sports stadium and stuff like that. But I also don't want to get too far off track, like as we're focused on NFTs. But NFT space themselves is a great marketing to bring in newbies. So if you're looking at, it depends on who you're trying to reach, whether you're trying to bring in people from other spaces like ETH. And I think that's what Terra's done a lot so far, even though they want to bring in newbies. A lot of focus has still been on degen. And that's important because DeFi is mainly degen. You're looking at, as again, Prism, Mars, you know, White Whale, Kuji, all of that is very degen focused. But if you want to bring in newbies, you need a different approach, and you need to bring in NFTs, and you need to bring in metaverses, and you need to bring in learning, and you need to bring in easy UI. Anchor. But I think this is kind of where Terra has not gone wrong, but it's sometimes confused, I think, in their focus, because I think even on the top ranks, and even if you're looking at TFL, there's been a huge focus on incubating DeFi projects or projects that are very degen focused, which has brought a lot of TVL and money into the ecosystem. But it's almost this confusion, I think, about who's being reached. And I've been talking about this behind the scenes of TFL, and I've been really, you know, pushing a few things and working really hard on building Learn. But, you know, if you want Anchor to be a savings protocol that brings 20%, I mean, obviously Alice and Caddo and stuff has been great developments for this, but there's still this real degen focused on the back end of around DeFi, which is important. You need that composability, you need all this sort of stuff, but, you know, your 50-year-old grandma, not grandma, 50-year-old mum is not going to come in and use Prism, you know? So it's you got to have both at the same time. And I think, but the marketing comes from building these products that are easy for people to use, having a 20% anchor savings rate, and having these NFTs start to grow, which will bring that in. I hope that answers the question. I went on a bit of a ramble there.
Yeah, thank you.
So I think we're conscious of time. We're going to look at wrapping up real soon. I think, you know, it's getting pretty late for Super Terra, and we've had a pretty good space so far. I want to thank everyone for jumping on. I want to drop a little bit of alpha. I personally think that one of the big next developments in NFTs it's not the next development, but it's an important piece, is the economies within the economies, right? NFTs are their own trading economies, but I think even within, you're looking game, like CeFi talked a lot about gaming, these games have economies of items. And this is the same with what Nate was talking about with Styler items. And me and Superterra have been working on something behind the scenes, you know, an NFT project behind the scenes. It's still, you know, very early stages, but, you know, fledging out the ideas. And we're going to see some stuff come out in the next, you know, couple of weeks and months. But really focusing on how can you build an ecosystem and a economy of value even within those communities, right? Because even at the surface level, you know, you have knowledge that is shared as an economy within these communities of NFT projects. But the next layer of that is how can you bring in, you know, kind of sub-economies of items or value within these economies, that within these ecosystems and communities. And that's kind of the train we're going to go down. And I see Styler doing that, and that's really interesting. How can you have an avatar that you may have a different hat or a different, you know, even if it's a utility item, if the NFT may not have utility itself, but you may be able to trade utility items that add utility to the NFT. And I think that will really bring some stuff for the future.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to watch play out. And I think, you know, there's going to be more and more of it. How do you, you know, mix and match and turn, you know, NFT into items and utility and otherwise. And you know, I think what I'm excited about on March 15th, they're releasing, you know, the builder where you get to combine everything together. So I think that's going to be pushing NFTs in the future there.
Yeah, I think it's a very exciting development. I'm looking forward to seeing how that moves forward with Styler. I think it's, as I say, a quiet innovator. And I mean that in a very complimentary sense. It's a very, very interesting project. I think for me, obviously really welcome some sort of closing remarks. I'm quite happy to keep going for a little while longer because I'm very much enjoying this. But I mean, for me, I think what we're seeing is we've moved from mints that are about the PFPs. I think the PFPs are very important. I mean, look, most of us are sporting one of some of the major projects, you know, across this call as I scan down the list. And I think that's fantastic. But I think it's now about that kind of longer term community utility. We've had some really good discussions around that. And I think, yeah, some really good points as well about how NFTs are almost, if you like, the standard bearer for bringing new eyes into Terra. And growing us to that next level. So I think, yeah, the great graphic that's been shared quite extensively on Twitter in the last few days shows us that something like 1% of the size of the ETH market for NFTs, I think it might be even lower than that. And I see that as a great thing because it talks about massive upside potential for the growth of Terra NFTs. And I think the ability to scale, I think, is incredibly important. And I think that's something that we've already seen, particularly since, you know, Col5 came in. The stability and robustness, my God, we've tested it so much with a lot of launches, not just NFTs. So that's really important. And you know, in terms of where we're going next with this, the base level to build and develop is there. What we want to do really now, and it was interesting, obviously Simon mentioned that we've been having some really interesting discussions about, yeah, the next directional path that NFTs can take. And I think you're only limited by your own imagination and the ability of the devs to deliver. So, and I have no doubt on the latter. So I think it's exciting. It's a really exciting space to be in. Those OG projects, as I put in the title, absolutely trailblazing. I think probably the one thing we haven't touched upon is the way that some of them have really diversified. You know, if you look at Galactic Punks with the grids as an example, I think that's a really interesting innovation. Really looking forward to seeing how that develops further. Lunar Bulls with their secondary mint, and also some really good support for other projects in the space. Yeah, there's almost that kind of creativity. We all win together, we all support each other together, and I think that's probably the big thing that I enjoy the most about this space. Yeah, I've found there isn't that kind of barrier. People want to help each other, and we all win together. And I think, you know, it probably brings it nicely back round to what CFI was saying, you know, around community. So for me, very excited about, you know, the next steps that we're all taking together as a group of early stage. I always say that we are still early. It might not seem it in some senses, but I believe we really are still very early. We're in the foothills. When you look back in a few years' time and, you know, peer down from the top of Everest and realize quite how far we've traveled, but it's a beautiful time to be in this space. So that's really my kind of closing thoughts. If anyone else obviously wants to chip in from our extensive speakers bank, and obviously I'll leave for Simon to sort of close out as well.
Yeah, no, I want to echo that sentiment. I think, you know, been part of many chains, and I've never had so much fun as here, you know, with the Luna community. I think it's a bunch of great people all pushing, you know, DeFi and crypto in the right direction. And I think the NFTs, you know, represent that. I think there's been a ton of innovation here, and, you know, I think we're 1/100th of what we can be. So I'm really excited to what the next, you know, few months bring.
I would say one, like, sort of cautionary tale would be, you know, NFTs that are for art, I think should be about art. If you, the moment you try to inject supposed utility into things, you might think you're actually increasing the value, but technically speaking, you might be actually devaluing things. And this happened in gaming items and was actually like part of the rationale for the formation of Bitcoin in the first place, was the problem of mudflation in the gaming space. And the addition of utility to things, like, let's say, a sword in a game, makes your it makes things limited in an indirect way. So notice how there are no smart contracts in Bitcoin, and it serves its function perfectly for what it is, and it's beautiful in that base, in that simplicity, right? And the moment you create like an Ethereum smart contract platform, you have the problem of potential obsolescence, as technology can be like surmounted by other technology. So the similar concept is true in NFTs. You wind up with a sort of inflationary element to sort of gaming objects. And it's not always a good thing necessarily to assume that art has to have utility. And I think those NFT platforms that are more about the art should simply stay about the art. Don't try to do anything too weird and break that model. That's my take.
Love it. That's a good point. And it's something to explore. And I think that could be a really great space to explore as well. It's important knowledge, especially looking at that, because as many people that, you know, me and Superterra have talked about this a lot, has been the need to add utility is almost a band-aid sometimes. And this is, we're seeing this with NFTs. People talk about, you know, add utility, but we want to make sure, obviously, that the utility is the real real utility, and not a band-aid that's added on to, you know, a token or a band-aid that's added on to make the project seem like it's got utility. And if you look at long-term utility, we're going to have a space, I think next week we'll be talking about exploring NFT utility, which is how can we add value to the community? And it can come in different ways, right? How can you add even more value to the community? I think something that hasn't been talked about, we'll bring these other speakers up, but really, and I think this is something that would interest you a lot, CFI. Something that hasn't really been delved into NFTs, and maybe the size of NFTs isn't big enough just yet, has been the especially in Terra, will be the influence of NFT communities in the DeFi space. And, you know, obviously look at Levana and launching projects as NFTs and stuff like that. But I think more than that is that communities will form almost these positive kind of mafias. I'm trying to use the word mafia without sounding like negative. And I've kind of delved into this and talked to Superterra about this a bit. But just think about like an NFT community starting to become like investors. You look at Luna Balls, they're starting to incubate new projects. But the involvement of the NFT communities in, you know, in investing in startup DeFi projects, or, you know, one big one that's been interesting to me has been, you know, potentially the future potential of accumulating VE tokens, vote escrow tokens, or things like that. But basically having a DAO and a community of NFT, you know, holders that play a bigger role and a bigger influence in the DeFi space overall. I think that's a very interesting kind of future for this.
So I'm conscious that 5'11 SJB step forward, if you wanted to sort of say a few words.
Thank you very much for having me up. I just wanted to, I totally agree with what Seffi was saying about the art, staying the art. But I think just to tag on to that a little, what a lot of the communities can do that are profile pictures or have utility economies based inside of economies, what those communities, the communities with the utilities can do is highlight the individual artists as much as they can. You know, I've been in Luna for about since October, and I got into NFTs in December. And I got in through a friend. I'm in Goat's community right now, ETH based, but like we're going to start highlighting individual artists on a weekly basis with the spaces. So I think we can all do our part in order to bring recognition and eyes on the individual artists as a community that has some, you know, a lot of followers. But that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. And actually, it's a really important point. And I have a lot of friends that I've got to know very well over the last sort of year or so. A lot of independent artists in the space, and I think it's a really nice point, because ultimately, there's some real talent, and they deserve to be to the fore. So what you're doing is great, and I shall certainly see if I can hop on some of your spaces as well. I know there's a number of friends of mine who often pop on here who are, yeah, small independent artists, very heavily involved in NFT projects, doing their own sort of small collections. I'm helping a friend of mine at the moment in a very much a, you know, just give him a little bit of PR sort of sense. And I just think it's great that it's a very fantastic, trying to think of the exact word. It's a kind of a very open opportunity for genuine art to succeed. But where I think it's interesting is, and absolutely, you know, there's a couple of artists who produce some beautiful pieces of work, and it is about the art, absolutely about the art, and not about the community and the utility in their case. They are about the art. And I think that's an interesting difference. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that. You'll have some of the bigger mints, as I call them, where it's absolutely about building the community, the longevity. But you'll get certain individual artists who produce a handful of really involved pieces of work. And when I've spoken to them, they've spent days producing them. And, you know, in some cases, you can buy the physical, which is married up to the NFT version as well, which I think is really good. So hats off, and thank you for mentioning that side of things. I think that's incredibly important. And actually, for me, art plays a big role in a successful NFT project at scale, because I think absolutely without it, you kind of look at it and you think, in fact, I shouldn't say this, but I saw one the other day. It was a small project, and I won't name them because I'm not that sort of person. It was like a five-year-old had drawn it, or even someone like me who has no artistic creative ability, and it detracts from what they're trying to do as a message. I think good art has to lead the project. I was going to invite one more speaker up. There was an eel on the call. I didn't catch the name, but they seem to have disappeared. Now, I know that sometimes Twitter gremlins do sort of eat up the speakers, so I'll see if they reappear. But if not, absolutely, hopefully we can get them up next time. So, yes, it doesn't look like they're here. They've gone. And that's a real shame. Been eaten by a puffin, perhaps. But so it's a bit of an in joke there.
Real quick, yeah. We're just putting these spaces together now. We're going to start our first one in about 2 weeks. I'd be grateful if you DM me an individual artist, so we could possibly have them on and highlight.
Yeah, that would be my absolute pleasure. And I think that's the beauty of, I mean, I guess a lot of the reason we all do this is because we care about community. We want to grow the space. And actually, we enjoy talking, collaborating, sharing ideas. So, yeah, that would be great. I've already linked with you as we've been on this session. So I shall send you a message afterwards. And obviously, as you start to launch these, more than happy to help in terms of bringing the awareness to the Terra community as well.
So I'm looking now. I don't think our eel is going to return from their exile outside of Twitter Spaces. So I'm happy to pretty much bring it to a close. It's been fantastic. I just look at the time and I think, my God, it only feels like I've been chatting for 20 minutes. That's the sign of a good Spaces. No, thank you, everyone. I mean, we are running these, generally speaking, it's at the same time every week. As Simon said, we're looking to really start going to a lot more depth in individual projects. Always welcome anyone who wants to come and join us. And you know, as always, had some excellent speakers tonight. And yeah, for me, thank you as always, because ultimately it's the group that makes these things work for me.
And thank you to all the speakers and CFI and James Award and everyone for jumped up. Also, if you're interested in NFTs, make sure that you hook up with Super Terror. He does a weekly or bi-weekly even NFT roundup where he just goes to town and writes a huge write up about, you know, everything happening in the NFT space. You can find those articles on the Loop community, but follow him on Twitter because they're really, really powerful articles around NFTs and what's happening and the mints and the fails and the, it's all the drama and the everything going on in the NFT space. It's a great, great place to keep up to date with what's happening and finding some good projects. It's almost like it could become a soap opera for the NFT space and the updates, but make sure that you follow him and check those out if you're big in NFTs, because they're quite powerful. So thanks everyone for jumping on. We'll see you on next week's Spaces. It'll be same time. And we'll have another NFT topic. I'm thinking possibly we can explore utility further. So make sure that you're there. And thanks for jumping. Enjoy your night or your day, wherever it is in the world. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, everyone. Good night. Good day.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Super Terra, OG Terra NFTs, the GPs, the LBs, the AVs. Why do people engage and what appeals? Recorded on Monday, March 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handing reports in. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thing.
thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big drip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, chase a view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2, show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. We'll be right back.